Turn this evening, if you would, to James chapter 1. And while you're turning, I would simply hope that everybody had a great day today. And here we are assembled back again together tonight for the same thing we came this morning for. I hear a message, right? And thank you for being here this evening. And I want to read James chapter 1. And I'm going to pick verses 5 through 8. And I'm going to mention a rather unusual sermon topic, a title, whatever you'd like to call it. The point is, don't be scatterbrained, okay? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Don't be scatterbrained. Now, before I go any further, maybe I'll ask a question. Everybody know what it means to be scatterbrained? Okay, what does it mean, Sister Cheryl?
It means the way I think.
Does it?
Yes.
Well, this message is just for you then, isn't it? Okay. All right, James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. He says this, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, you'll notice, double-minded. Okay, I'm getting my thought tonight from that verse. Double-minded. Now, I know that that probably would not describe totally accurate what it means to be scatterbrained, but it sure is close. I think there's a parallel anyway, don't you? Did you agree with that? So we'll take it and we'll just see how this will work tonight by God's help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this evening for this another service here at our church, and Lord, for the good music tonight that's sung, that's blessed our hearts, and Lord, the good messages in these songs, how important those messages are. We just thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be used and that we might be able to touch other people's lives by the Holy Spirit touching our lives. So help us tonight to think about that great message. Now, Lord, this evening, just bless us, encourage our hearts, and meet needs this evening, both here and out there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pave my way into my message tonight with just a little bit of, I guess you could call this a commentary. Just a few commentary remarks to get us into the depth of my message this evening. And when I say commentary, we're going to kind of look at a few verses one by one, and hopefully this will help us. Now, I want us to look now, just look with me at the same chapter, and look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. He says this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many temptations. The word divers means many. This is not talking about going scuba diving. Talking about many temptations. So I want you to understand tonight that he's writing to brethren. He's writing to brethren. So we can say this evening, we can conclude that this epistle is written to the people of God primarily, written to brethren. Now, and let's notice a few things about those brethren. First of all, in verse 1, they were suffering. There was some conflict. So I'll use the word conflict. Notice verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. 12 tribes. Of course, that would remind us of Israel collectively. Thinking of the 12 sons of Jacob and derived from the 12 sons, of course, there were 12 tribes making up Israel. Then he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, in the idea of being scattered abroad, that reflects something that was happening. That reflects the suffering that the people of God were beginning to have to endure. So they were scattered because they were suffering. That was a part of it. You might say they were kind of on the run, but they were scattered, suffering, persecution. Issues begin to develop. So you notice, first of all, their conflict. Notice, secondly, their capacity. Verse number 2. My brethren, account it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or testings. So notice this, count it all joy. Their capacity was that of joy. Their conflict, they were suffering, but they still had the capacity of joy, which would cause me to say tonight that regardless of the conflicts, regardless of the suffering that God's people endure, there is still that capacity of joy. We're still, joy is not pushed out. We still have the resource. We still have the ability to be joyful. So the capacity is joy. Now, the third thing, notice their comprehension. We see their conflict, verse 1. We see their capacity, verse 2. We notice the comprehension, verse 3. It says, knowing this. Key word, knowing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, knowing this. So there's the comprehension that that we're talking about here. They have the ability, they can comprehend, they can know that their faith is being tried. The trying of your faith worketh patience. So they could comprehend that. They would understand that their faith, the trying of their faith, had a purposeful end. It was to work patience. Their trials could be productive in that it could work patience. Now notice the fourth thing. Verse number 4. We see their counsel. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Here's counsel. Just let your patience, in other words, let the trial of your faith bring patience. Let patience reach fruition. Let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Not sinlessly perfect, but speaking about maturity, that you might be brought to maturity. In other words, God develops His people, not simply through reading of Scripture, but God develops us through the trials of faith that we have to endure, through the difficulties of life. And so He uses the word perfection, talking about maturity, and entire, wanting nothing. So their counsel, they are given counsel. You know, I was thinking tonight, sitting there listening to the testimonies and rejoicing in what folks were saying here this evening, and I was thinking of how you've been blessed, and your testimonies reflect the fact of how you've been blessed. Every one of you tonight would say, I've been blessed because God has blessed me. God has been good to me. And you have been nurtured. You've been growing in the Lord. And I was thinking tonight, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if all people that we know that profess the name of Jesus Christ would receive the same counsel? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if every person would get it the same way? In other words, just like the old illustration you've heard years ago about the old sow that had all the little pigs, and there was a little runt. And the question was, why in the world is there that little runt among all of those other pigs? And all the other pigs are big ones. And that you got that little small runt. Well, why? And the idea was, why is that one little pig runted? It has the same eating privilege as every other pig in that litter, you see. And that's the way it is with the church. One of the most grievous things that pastors have to endure is the fact that we desire with all of our heart that the whole church get it the same way. We desire to see everybody blossoming and growing and maturing. And it's grievous because some people, it seems, just will not be counseled. And that is a fact of life. That's true everywhere. That's not just true here. That's true in every local church. Some people will not receive the counsel. And I'm not talking about attendance tonight. That's not even on my mind. I'm talking about in a general way, some people will not be counseled. We reach a place in our life to where, at least many people do, they reach a place in their life to where they basically drive their tent pegs down and they say, I'm going to camp here until God takes me home. This is where my campsite is. I don't intend to go do any more. I've reached the epitome. I've reached the top of where I'm going to go with my spiritual life. I'm set. I'm settled. Here I am. Come get me, Lord. I'm ready for the rapture. But as far as going any further, maturing, developing, I'm satisfied with where I am. Now, does that sound rather strange? Well, it is, but it shouldn't be that way. All of us have the same eating privileges in this church. We can be nurtured, we have the Bible and so forth. But so the thought here is counsel, counsel. Verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, it is a blessing when you and I can accept the things that we go through in life and realize that they're from the hand of God. He's wanting to develop us. He doesn't want us to bottom out because of the difficulties. He wants us to blossom. It can get us closer to Him. And the verse says it. Trying of our faith worketh patience, okay? Then let patience have her perfect work. So you see the counsel there. And then the course, okay? Look at verse number 5. This is so important. If any of you lack wisdom, and how many of us lack wisdom? I'd say all of us. Would you agree? Boy, I need a lot more. If any of you lack wisdom, I think probably what we ought to do is sort of jot in or scratch in or write in, me too. You know, maybe say that. We all need it. Now look at this. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we see their conflict. They suffered. We see their capacity. They could still be joyful. We see their comprehension to know that faith is to be tried. We see their counsel. Let patience have a perfect work. We see their course. The course is a path of wisdom. Now here is where the main crux is. Let me put it like this tonight. The path of wisdom is a best path to travel through trials. Right in the context. He talks about, he gives the idea of their trials. Then he gets into the subjects. He says, if any man lack wisdom. So you see, the path of wisdom is a best path to endure afflictions. The path of wisdom. It all ties together. You know, don't you love the Bible? Don't you love the fact that there's no isolated verse? One time when I was over in Iraq, we were watching this crazy movie, and the movie, what was it? I think I've told you this before. It was an airplane. That old airplane movie. And I asked the Sergeant Major, I said, Sergeant Major, would you please tell me what is the plot of that movie? He said, Chaplain, there is no plot. Well, I've said that tonight to say this. There is a plot in the Bible. It's the thread of redemption. It's about redemption throughout Scripture. And I've said that to come back to my original point here. All verses are connected. It's always wise to read your Bible in the context of the chapter, of the book. When I read of him talking, verse number 1, talking about being scattered abroad, implying the suffering that's going on. Then he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, they needed wisdom to know how to deal with those conflicts and those sufferings. And we do tonight. Tragically, we really need wisdom, don't we? So now, it takes wisdom to deal with trials and afflictions. There's a great danger. And here's something that's noteworthy. There's a great danger of doing wrong when we are tested. There's a danger. I have known Christians to not make it through testings. I mean, they didn't lose their salvation. But I've known some that got knocked off balance pretty bad. They didn't handle it. They got knocked down. They took it wrong. They become bitter. They blamed other people or they questioned God or said, why me, Lord, or things like that. And there's a danger. And we must understand that. There is a danger. Not everybody get through it right. But he says this. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What does it mean, double-minded? It means unstable. It means unsettled. It means not focused. It means inconsistent. It means wavering. It means controlled by emotions or popular feelings. And that's where we get the word scatterbrain from. Now, what does scatterbrain mean? Well, to be fair, I looked it up. I've heard it. Carol's called me scatterbrain probably a few times. But I wanted to find out what scatterbrain really meant. And Brother Glenn, don't we appreciate Mr. Webster? I know you quote him and reference him sometime in teaching. Scatterbrain means to be, and I quote, flighty, frivolous. What's so funny about that, Cheryl? Flighty, frivolous, frivolous. That's what happens when you... You know, get your word if you don't pronounce it right. Sometime I'll go home, Carol say, Chuck, what did you say tonight? Or here's a good one, harebrained. Harebrained. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? Harebrained. Now look at verse 6. Let's go back to it for a moment here. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. All right, here's a man that's been suffering. Here's a person who wants wisdom. And here's a person who prays about it. And then James gives counsel as to how to pray about it. When you pray, ask in faith. Don't waver. Then he says if you waver, you're like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. So, verse number 6 here has to do with the case of the Christian praying with faith for wisdom to deal with the issues of life, to help them think clearly and help them be focused and stable in their thinking. And he says, when you pray, don't waver. Stay focused. Don't be scatterbrained. Really understand the importance of what you're asking for. And be straightforward. That's, I think, what he's saying there. In other words, know what's going on. It's like the guy walking down this alley. Y'all pray for me. He's working on me tonight. It's supposed to be just in the morning. This guy walking down the alley, and he met this other man that's standing down in the alley, and the other man was an unusual character. The other man had a shotgun and a chainsaw. The guy said, why you got a chainsaw and a shotgun? And the man looked at him. He said, I'll tell you what, mister. He said, I'm trying to figure out whether to cut across the street or shoot down the alley. I kind of thought that was a little bit funny myself, but you all apparently didn't. That's what you call a person who couldn't make up his mind. So, the complications of life, having to make choices and the decisions, is what this is talking about tonight. The decisions that we make, many times, are going to make us. Quality and direction of life, many times, is based upon decisions. And I think if you digest all that James is saying, he's saying, don't be indecisive. Be focused. When you pray, and all of the other disciplines involved. A man one time was seeking advice from an older person, and he asked him, he said, what's the secret of success? And the older guy told him, he said, it's making wise decisions. So the man then asked him, he said, well, how can I make wise decisions? And the old man said, from experience. Then the younger guy said, how do I get experience? Then the old man said, from making dumb decisions. You know, we need clear and focused minds to deal with the stresses and the issues of life. And that's where I'm going with this tonight. It kind of dovetails with what I preached on this morning. To deal with the stresses of life, we need focused minds, clear and focused minds. We need to be asking God for a bunch of wisdom for sure. But now here's what I want to do to develop this. Number one, we see the problem. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, that's the problem right there. That means two-spirited. Two-spirited, double-minded, two-spirited. Translates that way. Pulled in two directions. Two loyalties. Two priorities. Pulled in two directions at the same time. Now, indecision can hurt big time. Indecision can take its toll in homes. Indecision, I'm talking about spilling over into, let's say, lack of commitment. Lack of commitment destroys relationships and families all the time. And it's almost like this. It's like parents. Parents that are indecisive. Parents sometimes keep changing rules. And that's not good for kids, is it? It doesn't create a stable household. The children, when parents are unstable in that way, the kids might be saying, well, I may as well do what I want to do because mom and dad keeps changing the rules. That's indecision. You see, we need to make up our minds by the grace of God and stick with it. We need to know where we're going with our spiritual life. We need to know what we need. We need to be straightforward in our prayer life with God. We need to be asking for the right thing, namely wisdom. My friend, tonight, every single one of us have a host of things that we pray about. And legitimately so. We got all kinds of things going on. Health issues, issues pertaining to everything. Economy, the economy of our home. A lot of things. But how many of us pray for wisdom? How many of us pray that God would give us wisdom to understand how to deal with these stresses? That's exactly what James is saying. You know, I look at it like this. I believe when we've preached all of our sermons, we've outlined all of our messages, and we lay out all of our alliterated points, throw in a few poems, throw in all the rest, when it's all said and done, the thing that'll help us the best is a straightforward word of God itself. And you said this morning, Brother Glenn, and that makes a lot of sense. Sometimes I think if preachers would just get up and just read the Bible, just share the scriptures, it's God's word that gets the job done anyway. It's not some kind of a sermon that a preacher preaches. The bottom line is scripture. And I've said all that to say this tonight. If we would only, just like we're in church tonight, where I have an open Bible, I'm standing up here making an effort at preaching, but as I preach, it would pay us well to stay glued to what the Bible is saying directly itself in black and white to us. Just like if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Some people can say this. They can say, well, that's a preacher preaching a sermon. No, that's God giving a command. And buddy, that's a lot more powerful. It comes down to this. If we would just cut to the chase and accept what God says in black and white, that really would help us big time. I believe when it comes to our homes, we need commitment. We need to be decisive. We need to be honest and clear when it comes to marriage. Of course, that's a marriage breaker when husbands and wives get messed up that way too. That's caused a lot of marriage issues. Then in our church, we need total commitment. All of us need to be equally counted on. And you know, pastors have to preach and teach these things. I know every one of you already know it, but we still have to say it. I would much rather at any time I'm up here behind this pulpit just say to you, now let's open our Bibles and turn to John 14 and let's have a good sermon tonight on heaven. I'd rather preach that way. But you ready for this? As long as I see empty pews, I'm going to also be saying commitment, 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 faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm not preaching directly to you because you're here. I'm preaching to those that need to be here and could be here. Some can't be here, but some can. And I know this. We are victims of habit, all of us. When we keep doing, having a pattern of commitment in a certain direction, whether good or bad, it becomes easy after a time to justify that course of action. I believe what could start out as legitimately not coming to church because of the COVID and all that, and that's legitimate, could have, I'm not judging, but could have developed into a comfortable little stance now, if now easier, just to not come. I've got the computer. I've got the television. That's all I need. No, no. You need church if you can be here. You notice, I'm saying this tonight pleasant and smiling. But I'm a preacher that wants to see my whole church filled up. And you all have to appreciate that. I mean, come on now, don't you think I should want that? I want our church to be back in total gear again. What's wrong in a pastor wanting that out of his church? But we sing, Onward, Christian Soldiers. It's hard to sing that when you got some of the soldiers AWOL. Right? I mean, hey, that applies to the whole church. Now, let me get this right now. I love you people out there. Seriously. See what I'm saying here? And by the way, read your Bible and we see it. We see it all the way. Now let's move on a little bit here. Wisdom to handle trials and issues of life. Wisdom. Now, all right, look at this. If any man lack wisdom, there's a key here. For us to get wisdom, there's a fundamental need. We got to know we lack it. If any of you lack wisdom, well, in essence, we all lack it. But some people don't know they lack it. Does that make sense? Some people, they think they're okay. They think, don't tell me anything, preacher, I got it. Been in Sunday school for years. I got it. Don't try to preach to me. We got to lack something. We got to sense the lack of it before we're going to be asking for it. Starts out with a sense of need, doesn't it? That applies to lost people. Nobody will get saved until they sense the lack of need, or where they see the need, rather. Nobody's going to get saved unless they know they're lost. Unless there's that sense. Begins there. And I like the approach that Philip used to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then I really like the response of that eunuch. And I'll tell you what, you'd have preachers shouting galore if people would respond that way anymore. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? And all, pray that all of us will be thinking along the line of that eunuch's answer. We'd have revival, wouldn't we? That eunuch said, how can I, unless some man guide me, how can I, except some man would guide me? Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch basically said, how can I, unless someone tutor me, someone guide me. I say tonight, praise God for people that know they need guidance. Praise God for people that know they lack wisdom. This morning as I was preaching, I mentioned one key thing that's driving a lot of other sins, didn't I? It's called pride. Humbling down. It takes humility. That's where it all begins. That's where spiritual development begins. It's when I am humbled down and I say, Lord, it's me, oh Lord, that stands in need of prayers. And I need all the help I can get. Then we see in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, shall be given him. In verse number 6, let him ask in faith. We need to ask for it. We need to ask in faith for it. We ask of God, believing God. We ask in faith. We're not to be double-minded when we ask. Proverbs 2:6. Good verse. Let me give it to you. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, all of us preachers love to preach about Peter walking on water. I don't know of anybody but Peter that ever did that except the Lord. Do you? So, Peter, my hat goes off to Peter. I mean, he did something that I've never done. But I want you to think about something. Peter asked Jesus, basically, and paraphrase it, can I walk on water to come to you? I'm paraphrasing it. So Jesus basically said, come on, Peter. Peter jumps out of the boat, starts walking. As he keeps his eyes on the Lord, it was hunky-dory, everything's fine. Then he looks down at the water. He starts to sink. He seems to forget that the Lord, who told him to come out of the boat, was the same Lord that would help him get to him. I mean, if God's word was powerful enough to get him out of the boat, God's word was powerful enough to get him to him. And then here's Peter. He looks down. He saw the water. He must have thought to himself, what am I doing? People aren't supposed to be walking on water. What am I doing? Boom, down he goes. See, that's the thing about the Christian life that I really like. I like the fact that the same miracle-working God that did a miracle work when he saved us is the same miracle God that can give us the grace and the ability and the attitude and the fortitude to keep going on in spite of the problems we see around us. How many times have I seen people, I mean, they come to the end of their rope. They're in a terrible physical condition. They practically can look no other way but up. I mean, they've got all kinds of health issues going on, and in many cases, they're in a terminal condition. But I've seen it time and time again. Here's what they say. God's been so good to me, I'm ready to go. My life is in His hands. I know I'm saved. I'm ready to go. And many of them, it hasn't been long after they said that, God took them. But you see, that's the way to live, and that's the way to die. And the same miracle-working God that puts us in redemption gives us that ability to do things that we normally would never be able to do. I mean, no one but a Christian can live victoriously in the face of bad circumstances. It normally will knock 99.9% of people totally off track. But Christians have something the world doesn't have. I mean, in a sense, I'm not talking literally. In a sense, we're able to walk on water. In a sense, in a spiritual sense, we're able to do what we normally have never done before. Or what we couldn't do in the past, we're able to do now. So, ask in faith, nothing wavering. And I was going to go a little bit further, but I can see I've said all I need to say, and the clock up there is reminding me of that too. So why labor the issue anymore? I just wanted to encourage you tonight and let you know this. Based upon the Bible, the best way to deal with the trials and the issues of life is to go down the path of wisdom. And to get wisdom, we need to ask in faith and not be scatterbrained, believing that God can give us what we need to handle those issues. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the study of your word again. And thank you for what we've seen here in Scripture. Now, Lord, this evening I pray that you'd see fit to take these verses of your word, not what I've said, but what the Bible says, and instruct us and help us, Lord, tonight to know our lack, to know what we need, and then to, by faith, reach out and pray over it and trust you for it. God, help us tonight to not be satisfied with mediocrity. Lord, help us to pull up those tent pegs again, so to speak, and travel forward a little bit further. Lord, help us to, as Christians, to never quit fighting, never quit praying, never quit trusting, never quit going forward. And help us, Heavenly Father, to handle the terrible things of life like a Christian soldier should. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.